Well, good morning. Glad that you made it here today. I don't know if you can relate to this or not. Last night, I was thinking, my goodness, are we going to have to cancel church? And actually, I had a few of people call me and even ask, are we having a snow day? And I was like, I don't know if that's possible in churches, schools, yes. But I do want to thank our team, as Pastor Brad prayed. Nathaniel, he had a big part of that. He was here really late last night, really early this morning, I probably should say. We had other people like Joel Pierce and others that came and took care of our parking lot and sidewalks. Can we thank them for that? I appreciate them so much. I was surprised. I think, you know, coming here, I thought it would be a lot worse, and it wasn't. I guess the plows were all out last night, and I'm glad that you are here to celebrate and to worship this morning. I also want to thank Pastor Brad for speaking last week. I was gone after Christmas and just needed one Sunday to kind of refresh and then get ready for this new series. So thank you, Pastor Brad, for opening up the Word of God. I understand he almost killed a goldfish. Is that what I understand? He taking it out, you know, I don't know. We'll have to talk to him about that. But anyway, thank you so much, Pastor Brad, for preaching last week. Well, as you just saw in that video, we are beginning a new series this new year called Overcome. And the reason I chose this word is because it directly comes out of John 16, verse 33. If you have a Bible, would you please turn there with me? Today we are going to have an intro message to the entire series. The series is going to be between 6 and 8 weeks long. I'm still praying about the length of that, but specifically I wanted to start today on the theme verse, John 16:33, and I really want to focus on this word, overcome. Now, if you didn't bring a copy of scriptures, I do have the verse for you on the screen, but check out what God's word says. This is Jesus himself speaking, and this is what he says. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now we're going to focus on that very word, overcome, that Jesus announced or pronounced to his disciples. He says, I have overcome that world. Now, one of the challenges that we have when we try to understand what Scripture is saying is we have to admit to ourselves we don't understand Greek, right? And so we're very dependent upon English translations. And this English translation that I'm using on the screen is the NIV. A lot of your translations, most of them use the exact same word. They choose to use the word overcome. And it's a very good translation of the Greek word. I think you understand that there isn't always equal equivalency. In other words, you can't just take a Greek word and come up with a perfect English word. Sometimes one Greek word is translated into three English words. And you know the English language is fairly complex. It changes through time. English words that made sense hundreds of years ago don't mean the same thing today. That's why there's different translations that come out. And so all that to say, I was very curious about the word overcome. And so I started with just the standard English definition. I wanted to understand, what does the dictionary, the one that we would probably understand this word to mean, what does it have to say? And I found out that there's three definitions for this word overcome. And I want to share all three with you just real briefly, because I think it's important for us to understand specifically how these definitions may affect how we understand this word. And then what I'm going to do is show you the Greek and help us understand specifically what it says. All right? So if you opened up your dictionary, your English dictionary, you would find that overcome means three things. The first thing it means is to succeed in dealing with a problem. Let's face it, all of us face problems, all of us face circumstances, all of us have challenges, all of us have hurdles that we need to overcome. Sometimes we call it life. Life is not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. There's always going to be a hurdle, a challenge, a circumstance, a problem, a difficulty that we need to overcome. For an example, a year ago, my son, Noah, he was at Columbus State. I never forget when he came to Carrie and I and said, hey, I think for my first year of college, we're going to go to Columbus State. We were excited because that meant him staying home. I was excited also because it meant very affordable college, right? Matter of fact, both semesters and all his books was cheaper than sending him to Worthing Christian the year before, his 12th grade year, or Genoa and the different schools he went to. And so I was thrilled about that. But then he came to us about halfway through his freshman year and said, okay, I think God wants me to go to Cedarville. And I remember thinking to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I remember thinking, okay, well, good, because God's going to have to provide a way for you to go to Cedarville, right? And so he did. God did provide. God gave Noah some scholarships that he was able to apply. During that first year, God provided Noah with a job, which provided him money, which could go to his school bill. God provided my wife a job, which she's putting towards his school bill. And believe it or not, there were some anonymous people that it's one of these, you know, raven stories where money showed up at our door specifically for Noah as we prayed about this. And praise God, through his provision, we were able to overcome, right, that challenge. And you can relate to that. All of us have different challenges, problems, circumstances that by the grace of God, we were able to overcome, right? That's one simple definition of the word, but listen carefully. That's not the definition for our series. That's not the definition that I'm going to refer to as it relates to John 16:33. Now, there's a second definition that we're familiar with, and that means to be overwhelmed with emotion, right? For instance, yesterday was my daughter's 10-year-old birthday party, right? We didn't cancel her birthday party despite the snow because my wife and I are not millennials, and I'm joking, millennials. I got a better response in the first service with that statement there. I had a millennial say, I'm never coming back. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, first, I didn't understand what you were saying. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. All right. My point is this. We had the birthday party in the snow, right? And it was a big deal. Like, not necessarily her birthday party, but my daughter said, hey, I'm 10. I want to have a special thing with my friends. I want to have a special thing with my family. And we're like, okay, so you want two birthday parties, basically. And she's like, yeah, of course. Who doesn't? And so we celebrate her birthday yesterday with her friends. And then her actual birthday is coming up Tuesday or Monday. We're going to celebrate. But she had a couple of her friends over. And I kid you not, like, it's the first time I've been around multiple 10-year-old girls. And let me just say, they were overwhelmed with emotion, right? To the point that I kept looking at my watch, like, when's this thing over, right? Like, they were just so excited. Like, everything was so exciting, right? I'm not used to this necessarily. It's really the first time. And like, this one girl, she was giving my daughter her present. She's like, I'm just so excited. I just can't help it. I can't help it. She's dancing around the house doing cartwheels. I'm just like, oh my goodness, give her a present already, right? But she was overwhelmed with emotion. I think all of us can relate to that, right? There's times when, like, you know, for instance, you see something sad or think of something sad or something sad happens and you're just overwhelmed with tears, right? Or you feel, maybe you feel frustration or you're filled with anger because something happens and you understand that. You're overcome with an emotion that you didn't feel a moment ago because of a circumstance that just happened, right? Good or bad. Again, that's a definition that we use in our English language, but not the definition or the way the Greek presents it here in our text, right? The third way that we use this English word is probably the closest to the Greek language that we're going to study here in a moment, and it means to defeat an opponent, right? Think in the athletic world. For instance, you know that I coach eighth grade basketball. This past week, my son's team was playing a team that they haven't beat in a couple of years. It's a team that we shouldn't have probably beat this year is either, but we were in the game going back and forth. We forced overtime, and once we were in overtime, we went down by 5 points, which is a big deal because overtime is only 3 minutes, and these kids are usually only scoring 6 to 8 points a quarter anyway. And so when the other team, the opposing team, the team that should have won the game probably because they were better and had more talent, when they went up 5, I thought, oh, well, at least we forced overtime, right? But we came back. We tied the game, and with seconds left, because of good coaching. That's not the case. We hit a last-second shot, right? And that was my son, by the way, which I was so proud of. Can I brag on my son for a moment? It really was coaching. But we'll give credit to my son, right? And we understand in sports world, right, what it means to defeat an opponent. We understand that sometimes there's opposition in a game, whether it's football or basketball, because those are sports going on right now, hockey. There's sometimes great opposition, but you have to overcome the opponent to experience victory. This definition here in our English dictionary is the closest to the original Greek word overcome that's found in your translation of scriptures in John 16:33. And so what I want to do in the outset of this series is I want to dig as deep as I possibly can and really explain this specific Greek word this morning, right? We're not going to do this every single week, but I think it's important in the outset of the series to help you understand exactly what this word overcome means. And so I'm going to teach you a little bit of Greek. Are you excited about that this morning? Okay, that's better than the first service. Don't tell the first service that. That was good. First service is like, no, we're not excited. We had to shovel snow. We're not excited about that, right? So here's the word. The word for overcome in the Greek is this word. It's called nikao. Say nikao. Very good. You said Greek word, right? Now, nikao is very interesting because this word isn't an original word. It's not a primary word. Every Greek word comes from a primary word. I'm going to teach you that in a moment. But this Greek word, literally, where they, English translators, decided to, from this word, take the word overcome, this word nikao actually means to conquer or to be victorious. Matter of fact, what is so interesting, and a lot of you probably have lots of questions about this, is why are there so many different English translations, right? And we have all these debates like, oh, this translation's better than this translation, and this translation is, you know, a paraphrase, and this one's a dynamic equivalent, and we like to have all these different debates. But one of the reasons, and I'm not going to get into debates, okay, but one of the reasons there's so many different translations is because, as I said earlier, our English language changes, right? Like when I was a kid, when something good happened, we're like, dude, that's rad. That's radical. Radical, right? You would never hear a kid say that today, right? And what was I trying to say? Well, that was cool or that was awesome or whatever. I don't even know what the kids say today. I don't even want to try to begin to pretend I understand it, right? But the point is our language changes. My parents, sometimes my dad will still say, oh man, Jeff, that's groovy. Like groovy. That's just weird, right? Like what does that mean, groovy? Like gravy? No, groovy. Like, we just speak different languages. And one of the reasons there's different English translations is because they're trying to help us understand better what the Greek word is. So this translation that is on the screen, it's an NIV translation. And they decided that the best word for our current English language, which came out in about 1973, right? 1973 is when the NIV was produced. They figured that the best word at that time period was overcome, right? But when you study this word, you learn that there's a better word. There's a better word. And some of our newer translations are coming on and using this better word. One, for example, is the Christian Standard Bible. It's an excellent translation. And they actually decide not to use the word overcome. They use the word conquer. Conquer. Now, look at this verse, and let's put the word conquer in there. I have told you, Jesus is speaking, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have conquered the world. Pretty powerful, don't you agree? And so I was very curious about this. I'm like, okay, I got to figure out the root word, right? I'm getting a whole lot of nerd in here right now. And this is what I discovered. I went to the root word of nikao, and look what the word is. It's Nike. Nike. We would say Nike, but it's Nike. Say Nike. Nike. Okay? Nike is a very interesting word. And I found out two things. This word in their Greek culture was used primarily two ways. It was used of Greek warriors and athletes. Warriors use this word, and athletes use this word. You say, wow, we're really going deep this morning. Yeah, I have a point. Bear with me. When a warrior conquered an enemy, okay, We're not just talking. They went to battle and like, man, you know what? They won that battle and they retreated back to camp and like, we'll get them next time, guys. All right, let's go. Went to battle. No, oh man, retreat. No, we're talking. When they went to battle and they finally won the war, they would go back to camp and they would inspire and encourage and say to each other, Nike, we won. We conquered the enemy. We are once and for all victorious. The war is over. We would use the word overcome. We conquered, right? We prevailed. We won. I find it interesting. Athletes also use this word. As a matter of fact, as history unfolded, even to present day history, late 1960s, early 1970s, a guy by the name of Phil Knight and Bill Bowers created a shoe, which they originally called the Blue Ribbon Shoe. Then they decided a year or two later to change their name to Nike. And when you study the history of Nike, the reason they chose this name is they went back to this original Greek word and they wanted their shoe associated with conquering, victorious Greek athletes. And that's why they chose the word Nike. Now, I find it extremely interesting that when Jesus is huddling up his disciples and say, hey guys, I got to tell you some things. And one of the things I have to tell you is I, my friends, have overcome the world. What he is saying, he's saying, guys, I'm about ready to leave, but listen, I have conquered the world once and for all. I am victorious over the world once and for all. And all of a sudden, I started falling in love with this word. And so I started thinking and praying about, okay, God, what are the goals for Grace Powell Church this coming year? What are the things that you want us to accomplish? And I started thinking about all that's going on in our world, not just in our church, but just in our world. And I started thinking about all that we as Christ followers face in this world. And I started thinking about not anybody specifically, but just in general, all the different people that I'm aware of that are facing all kinds of hardship and difficulty and setback and failure as a result of anxiety and depression that we are just bombarded with in this world. And I would have to assess, again, not just Grace Powell Church, but Christianity in general, we are not overcoming the world, but doesn't it seem like we're being overcome by the world? And so I'm reminded, as a pastor, that we are supposed to be a people who don't live in darkness, but we're supposed to live in light. Amen? We're not supposed to live with shame. We're supposed to live with grace. We're not supposed to live in fear. We're supposed to live in faith. We're not supposed to live with negativity. We're supposed to be positive. We're not supposed to live, ready for this, in bondage, but with freedom. But doesn't it seem as of late, whether it's 2018, 2017, 16, how far you want to go back, doesn't it seem like the church of Christ is not advancing the kingdoms where we're pushing back the gates of hell? It seems like the world is enslaving us and trapping us to fall prey to the point that we're being overcome, that we're being conquered instead of conquering. And so I've been praying and saying, God, what is it that you want me to communicate to Grace Powell Church? And God brought me this word. He goes, I want you to bring the word overcome. I want you to teach and remind that we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Amen? That life, in life and death, that cannot separate us from the love of God because we are conquerors, overcomers, victorious because of one person, and his name is Jesus. He already won the war, church. And so as we fight the battle, present day battle, whether it's anxiety or hardship or whatever it might be, fear, we are on the winning side if we know Jesus Christ because he overcame the world. And so I want to challenge us as a church. And again, I don't know if it'll be 6 to 8 weeks. It's going to be a longer series than normal because I believe there are so many different issues that are so prevalent today. And I want to challenge us as a church to make this our spiritual goal. And maybe you want to go a step further. Maybe for you, you're sick and tired of the assault that the enemy of God has on your family. Or maybe for you, it's your business. Or maybe for you, it's your son, it's your daughter, it's your marriage, and you're sick and tired of it. And this is the year that you, by the grace of God and his power, are going to overcome. And so if that's you, I want to give you three warnings, three precautions, three challenges going into this goal. Because here's what I learned as I studied this word. As much as I love the word overcome, and I was like, wow, it's used by conquering Greek warriors. That's pretty sweet. Wow, it's used by victorious Greek athletes. That's pretty sweet. I could get into that. I you know, guys, ooh, war, sports, yes. Here's what it implies. It implies a battle. When Jesus said, I have overcome the world, he was talking about spiritual warfare. He was talking about not just defeating the world, but defeating the enemy of God, the ruler of this world. And I find it interesting that if you and I make this our spiritual goal, then we need to be warned on three things in particular and prepare our hearts and ourselves with three things in particular. Number one, we need to recognize that overcoming, whatever it is, okay? So let's make it personal. Let's say right now you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that he just said that because that's where I'm at. Like maybe for some of you, you're like, you know, maybe somebody in your family knows, but you're just, right, whatever reason, the enemy of God is just attacking your mind with worry and anxiety. And I've said it now several times and you're like, how did he know, right? How did he know that I'm struggling this? I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows and God knows. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, I want to overcome anxiety, but you know as well as I know that you've been struggling with it for years. And we love this time of year. We love New Year's because it's the kind of time when we say, okay, it's this year. It's going to happen this year. It's kind of like our physical goals. Like I'll be honest with you, mid-December, I stepped on the scale for the first time in like months. And I got on there like, ooh. I was like, no way. It's got to be the t-shirt. I gained a pound taking off a t-shirt. How'd that happen? Then you get off and you kind of step up, light step. And I'm like every year I do the same thing. I'm like, this is the year I'm losing weight. You know, and I'm going to start my diet. Well, my daughter's birthday is the first part of January. We all know diets start February 1st. This is the year. Well, we all know diets start first day of summer. And we set these physical goals, but you know by February, March rolls around, we fail in these physical goals, right? And I think that happens to us spiritually. It's like, okay, this year, God, I'm going to beat anxiety. I'm going to step up to anxiety. I'm going to overcome anxiety, if that's the illustration. Or maybe it's failure or setback or whatever it is, past, sin, whatever. I want to share with you that if this is your goal, you have to understand right now, today, it will not be easy. You say, well, why? Why? Why won't it be easy? We would never admit this out loud, but in our minds, in our hearts, we think that Jesus owes us. We really do. We think things like this. We wouldn't say it out loud because we know better. But we think things like this. Okay, Jesus, I came to church this week, so because I came to church on Sunday, you probably should bless my business deal on Tuesday. Like, I'm doing you a favor, so therefore you do me a favor. And then something happens and God maybe doesn't bless your Tuesday meeting that you had, and you start thinking to yourself stuff like this, like, well, wait a minute, I'm living for Jesus. I'm trying to live for Jesus. I'm going to church. I'm even tithing. I'm serving. Like, I'm in the nursery. No one wants to go to the nursery. Like, I'm changing diapers, Lord. And we wonder, honestly, I'm, We wonder, why is my life not easier? Why doesn't God bless my life more? Why don't I have better circumstances? Why is it so hard to live in this world? And Jesus tells us in John 16:33, things that we know, we just have to remind ourselves. He says, guys, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Literally, Jesus is huddling his disciples and saying, guys, you don't fully understand this, but I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. And the disciples are kind of like, in some respects, as I have fun with this right now, okay, can we go? And they're like, no, you can't go. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready next chapter to pray intercessory prayer for you guys. And the prayer that I'm praying to my Father, I'll just let you know, is that you stay here on this earth, even though I'm going. So guys, I know you can't comprehend this because you thought I was going to set up an actual kingdom, but I'm leaving, I'm going, I'm leaving you. And the disciples had no clue, because remember when he died, they hid, right? They're trying to figure all this out. And then they saw the resurrected Jesus, and their faith comes alive. And then remember at the ascension, 40 days later, they're staring up at him like a balloon that's going up into the sky. And an angel comes and says, what are you doing looking up? Get to work. And they get to work and they finally start living for Jesus, right? But the point of sharing all that with you is Jesus, before all this, before he dies, is like, guys, huddle up. Listen, I got to let you know something. I'm going to the Father in heaven, but you're staying in the world. And I'm telling you guys, it is not going to be easy. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have sorrows. You're going to have pain. You're going to have difficulty. And you would almost think, like, wait a minute. We're the ones that followed you for 3 years. You're the God of all gods. You're like, have this incredible power to bring yourself back to life. And can't you make our life here a little bit easier as we try to spread the gospel through the entire world for all of time? And Christ says, no, listen, the world hated me. You can read about it in John 15. The world hated me and it's going to hate you. And you're going to live in a world that is like completely opposite of anything that I'm suggesting. You know, we feel that today, don't we? I mean, what the world says is right, God says is wrong. What God says is right, the world says is wrong. And we every single day are questioning, like, yeah, why does God say that? Why doesn't, you know, and people are like, you guys are so narrow-minded, right? And we live in a world today that is opposite of God, like anti-God, against God. And if it's against God, it's against his followers. And Jesus is telling his disciples and ultimately us, listen, if you're going to try to live in a world that is completely against me, be prepared, it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, you know why it's going to be so hard? Because there's a ruler of this world. His name is Satan. Now, church, don't get me wrong, because some of you might not understand. God is sovereign. He's in control. He has this incredible way of taking evil, bad things, and somehow turning it around for spiritual good. The best example of that is the story of Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament was betrayed by his brothers. He was doing right things, put in prison, forgotten in prison. But God had a plan through all this evil to elevate him to a place of prominence because it was in the sovereignty of God. And listen, we serve a God where I can't fully explain why bad things always happen to good people. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a fallen world that is under the leadership of the enemy of God, but God in his grace and mercy can take evil and somehow make it spiritually good. And so there's a day, and I look forward to this day, where Jesus is coming back. He will step foot on this earth. He will put Satan in the bottomless pit, ultimately in the eternal lake of fire. He will rule and reign forever and ever. That's going to be a glorious day, church. But until that day, if you decide to live for Jesus, it is not going to be easy. Because the world, led by the enemy of God, is assaulting us. Literally, I think, and I'm not trying to be prophetic. I don't believe that I'm prophetic in any ways, but I just study a lot and read a lot. I think right now, Satan is attacking not just this area, but all areas, with specifically in our minds. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, he gives us the armor of God. And one of the pieces of the armor of God is the shield of faith. And it says there that when you pick up the shield of faith, it's to stop The fiery darts of the evil one. I really believe through study of scripture and other really smart scholars, smarter than I am, that the fiery darts are thoughts. And perhaps one of the biggest challenges that all of us as Christ followers in a fallen world has to overcome this year is our own minds. Because he's attacking us in areas like where we're becoming anxious. Anxiety, depression, suicide attempts, and suicide in the last 10 years are at a 70% increase, like no other time in the history of mankind. The evil one is attacking our minds to the point that we're remembering past things that have already been dealt with. We are negative instead of being positive. We are critical instead of being encouraging. He's attacking our mind. And so if we say, okay, you know what? No more anxiety this year. No more depression this year. No more negativity this year. No more dwelling on the past this year. Listen, it's not going to be easy because the evil one is going to attack your mind and say, remember you said this last year and look at where you're at. Let's see how that goes for you. So prepare yourselves. It's not going to be easy. Now, wouldn't you agree that if I ended the message right now, it'd be the most depressing New Year's talk ever? I think it would be. But there's a second thing I want to share real quickly. Number two, overcoming is not impossible. I know that's a double negative. So another way of saying this is overcoming is possible. Now, you would think that if Jesus huddled up his disciples and said, okay, guys, I'm going to tell you something that's not easy. You can overcome. You can conquer. You can prevail in a world that is against me and against you, and it's going to think differently, has different goals, different values, different strategies, different priorities, but you can overcome. That would be pretty sweet, right? And he says, take heart. Be of good cheer. There is hope. There is a plan to take on the assault from the enemy. I love that. Could you imagine being the disciples in that moment? Like, okay, thanks for the huddle. Thanks for the pep talk, Jesus. That's awesome. You're telling me that I'm experiencing trouble and sorrow. And Jesus probably didn't say this, but we know from history that every single one of the disciples died horrific deaths for Christ, right? I mean, Jesus is probably like, yeah. I mean, he told Peter, remember? Hey, Peter, if you follow me, you're going to die upside down on a cross. And remember, Peter's like, what about John? Like, can John and I trade places, right? And the point of all this is, can you imagine that huddle? Like, okay, guys, listen up. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. Oh, man, heaven's awesome. Can't wait to go to heaven. They're like, can we go? Like, nope. Okay, why? Well, I have a mission for you. And by the way, no one's going to like you. Everyone's going to hate you. It's going to be hard, and you're all going to die. But take heart. Be happy. You know, and they start playing the theme music. Dun, 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 dun. You know, be happy, don't worry. That was what I tried to do there. That's why I don't sing. And my point is, could you imagine, like, the disciples' anticipation? You're like, okay, you just gave such discouraging news. Now you're trying to tell me to be hopeful. There's a plan. And I think they're all in. They're all ears. They're like, okay, what is that plan? You're telling me it's possible to overcome in a world which I am being overcome? How is that possible? How can I have hope? How can I have courage? And the reason is because of the very next verse. Jesus is saying, listen, the reason you can take heart, ready for this, is because I have overcome the world. You see, the secret to overcoming in 2019 is not you trying harder. It's not about you doing more. You know, like all these goals, like, you know, if you looked on New Year's resolutions, just physical New Year's resolutions, like one of the top ones, for instance, and I'm not picking on this one for any reason. It's just one of the top ones. It says, obviously, lose weight, exercise more. But one of them is quit smoking. Quit smoking. And some people are thinking, okay, this is the year. I'm just going to try harder to lose weight. You know, I know what I'll do. Sam has a workout program here. I'm just going to come here and Sam, you know, it's Sam's fault if I don't lose weight. Well, I promise you this. You listen to Sam, you'll lose weight, right? Or you think, you know, physically, like, okay, I'll just start running 15 miles a day and I'll eat nothing but lettuce. I just got to try harder, right? And the point is whatever your physical goal is, yes, it's a result of you trying harder. But do you know spiritually, you can't have that same equivalent, because the secret to accomplishing spiritual goals is getting yourself out of the way. Number three, it's not about trying harder. I love this concept, because when I was studying this verse, and I want to put the verse back up on the screen for you, I want you to see this. Maybe you can circle this or highlight this in your Bibles somehow. But the secret to success is linking, I have overcome the world, and then the couple lines ahead which says, in me you may have peace. You see, you have a choice, my friend. You're either going to try to live in Jesus or you're going to try to live in this world. Think about it. If you try to live in this world, you can read for yourself, you're going to have trouble. But if you try to live in Jesus, look what it says, you can have peace. Why? Why can you have peace in Jesus and still live in this world full of trouble? It's because he's overcome the world. Right? And so it's not about you and I trying harder. It's not about pulling up our spiritual bootstraps. It's not about us, you know, trying to do more for Jesus. You know what it's about? It's not about trying harder. You ready for this? It's about trusting more. It's not about doing more. It's about depending more. It's not about my spiritual striving. It is about my submitting. It's not about me worrying or being anxious. It's about me abiding. You see, in this world, you're going to experience pain, but in Jesus, you're going to experience peace. In this world, you're going to experience sorrow, but in Jesus, you're going to experience safety. In this world, you're going to experience hardship, but in Jesus, you're going to find hope. Amen? And so I don't know if Satan, the enemy, is assaulting you with anxiety or depression or setback or fear, but I can tell you this, we are going to tackle each of these subjects starting next week with anxiety. And we're going to spend the entire 35 minutes on anxiety. And we're going to talk about the fact that some of us at times in our life are overcome by anxiety, but we're going to learn how to overcome anxiety with Jesus. And then the next week, we're going to talk about setback, perhaps, or fear. Because every single one of us in this room is either overcome by the world or we are overcoming the world because of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this year to do that. I'm going to invite the team to come back up, and I want to share with you one more story and one more verse. And as the team is coming here, I was trying to think of a way. What is a way to perfectly sum up what I'm trying to communicate this series? And the Lord brought to my mind a story that happened to me on January 1st this year. And so on January 1st, I had to go to Enterprise Car Rental and get a van for our passion trip. And I was one of the drivers that was able to go. Carrie and I were able to go with the passion students and with the students, college students to Passion. And so I had to pick up a van on January 1st. We're leaving early, 5 a.m. on January 2nd. And so one of the things is I did, I picked up the van, and then I went and got my son, Luke, because he's spending the night at my sister's house while we're gone. And so I drive over to my sister's house with the rental car, the van, this 15-passenger van, and I park in her driveway. Now, they're not home because they're out on a date, but their kids are home, and she's like, yeah, just drop Luke off. We'll be there not too long afterwards. They can all play together. And I'm like, awesome. Thanks again for watching him for a couple of nights. And I pull in his long driveway, and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't want to just drop him off. I'll go in for a little bit. And so I park in their yard because that's where you have to park. And it was swampy, and we've done it before, and you just kind of pull out. No big deal. And so finally, after a half hour or so, I decide it's time for me to leave. And I go out to my van, and I start the thing up. It's, you know, a brand new van. And I take off, and the wheels start spinning. And I know better. The worst thing to do when you're stuck is just to press the gas harder, right? And so I gave it a little more gas, and I realized there's nothing. We're not going anywhere, right? And so I started thinking to myself, what am I going to do? How am I going to get myself out of this mess? And I thought, you know what? There's like four or five kids in the house right now. They're rascals, but you know what? They're kids. They probably like mud. So I go in the house. I'm like, hey, kids, how about getting on your old shoes and coming out helping Uncle Jeff, you know, get out of the predicament he's in? They're like, yeah, it'd be awesome. Our mom never lets us play in the mud. I'm like, shh, we're not telling her, right? Cool. So we go back behind the van, and of course, you know what happens when you're stuck and there's little kids behind you. I'm just spraying them with mud, you know. I'm like, more! This is awesome, right? I'm like, all right, well, that didn't work. So one of the older teenagers, I said, hey, does your dad in his garage, does he have like any wood? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, is there like a sheet of wood or like a 2x4? I want to jam it under the tire. Maybe I can get some traction. Maybe I can shoot the 2x4 through the house somehow. That'd be pretty sweet. He's like, oh yeah, we got all kinds of wood. So we're in there. We're jamming 2x4s under the tires. We're setting all these things out. I found a broom. I don't know why I did a broom. I just threw a broom in there and like, whatever. She still doesn't know where a broom is. None of it worked. None of it. Every time I tried to think of a solution, I just made things worse, not just for myself, but for everybody else. And I call up my brother-in-law. I'm like, hey, I'm still at your house, and a couple things. One is I'm stuck in your yard. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, that happens quite a bit. I'm like, well, can you help me? He's like, no, I can't help you. I'm like, well, what do I do? He's like, you call my neighbor. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, call my neighbor. It happens all the time. I'm like, you really need to fix your driveway, dude. You're calling your neighbor all the time, right? And so I call his neighbor. I'm like, hey, it's Jeff. I'm related to Amy, my sister, your neighbor. I'm stuck. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll be over in a minute. No problem. Comes over in his truck, has a tow rope, hooks it up, pulls me out, and all the kids are looking at me like. Yeah, I was thinking of that silly, silly, silly story. And I think it perfectly illustrates where I am and sometimes we can be. We know the mess that we're in. We know the predicament that we're in. And we think to ourselves, you know what? I just need to try harder. I just need to try something different. I just need to apply more pressure or maybe more strength. I just need to do. And my brother-in-law, he knew the solution. He's like, no, you can't, Jeff. I can't either, but my neighbor can. If you just simply call him, he'll come over to your rescue and he'll help you. You're like, you can try all the boards in my garage and you can maybe, you know, get the neighbor kids to help and come push on the van, but to no avail. Just call my neighbor, let him hook up his rope. He'll pull you right out. And you know what? That's what Christ is asking all of us to do this morning. He's saying, man, how long are you going to struggle with negativity? How long are you going to struggle with anxiety? How long are you going to continue to struggle with depression? Listen, I'm not trying to overlook this and I'm not trying to simplify this, but listen, don't you believe that if Jesus conquered the world and defeated our sin and defeated our death and can give us eternal life for all of eternity, he can handle your anxiety? I think he can. And I think he can handle my negativity, and he can handle my discouragement, and he can handle my setback, and he can handle our failures, and he can handle our depression, and he can handle all these things that the enemy of God throws at us. You know why? Because he is the conqueror. Now check this out. This is the best part of this sermon, in my opinion. 1 John 5:4-5, it says, for everyone, okay, that's you, that's me, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes, it should say, that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen, my friend, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you are born again. You are not made into an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Amen. Christ is in you. He's alive in you. Allow him to live the life that you so want to live in you and then through you. Let's trust more. Let's depend more. Let's rest more. Let's yield more. Let's depend more. We are overcomers by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I know that some of you are going through it. You know why? Because we all are. And so what I want you to do is I want you just to simply to identify that thing that right now you're being attacked with. What is it? What is that one thing or that two things? Is it depression? Is it hardship? What is it? Is it setback? Is it failure? Is it your past? What is it that you're currently being overcome by? And then what I want you to do is I want you to give it to the Lord. I want you to say, Lord, listen, I don't know how I'm going to overcome this, but I do know this. I'm trusting in you. I release it to you. I give it to you. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a fight ahead. But you know what? God, I can't do this anymore by myself. I can't do this alone. I need you. You're the overcomer. You're the conqueror. You are the victorious one. And Lord, my faith is in you. I depend upon you. And so I'm going to give you time just right now, just to reflect, just to pray. And I want you just to, there in your seat, just talk to God and respond to God and commit to God. And then in a few moments, we'll close in prayer and then we'll have a song of celebration. Let's pray. As you're praying and before I pray, just listen to Scripture. Let Scripture speak over you and your situation. Romans 8, verse 35, it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the Scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you please stand as we close our service in song?